I know. She takes Jimmy's rap off the track. Jimmy's rap wasn't even that good. Me and the mic, we coexist. Go fuck yourself, Jimmy.
Sis, flow is a glass block with no exists, and you could upserve while you trapping it. Took my lady's trap and I sprinkled some rap in it.
Exactly.
Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of season 4 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we're discussing Degrassi season 4, episodes 11 and 12, Voices Carry, parts 1 and 2. Roses are red, Craig's gone manic, and Radich is in a moral panic.
I'm so sorry.
No, I was going to lose it. Okay. Craig and Ash are back together, and things couldn't be better. Well, other than the fact that something seems a little off with Craig. He's very prone to mood swings and making rash decisions, and it's all a little bit unsettling, to say the least. Over in the B-plot, when Radich vetoes Liberty and JT's Dracula play, they write a cheesy protest song and fall in love.
I love it.
No. Oh, man.
I live for the B-plot, actually. It's probably the one time. The way they really thought they ate with that.
They really did think they ate. Sorry, they really did think they ate with the whole, first of all, for me, I think that they were like, this is my oof, when they had them sitting in detention with their arms propped up, like their heads, you know, propped up by their arms and like facing each other and stuff. Like they thought they truly like, this was like the king, like just the highest of their production of work. They're like, this is beautiful chef's kiss. And it's not.
It's not. It's like, I don't know. It's a very weak diss track. They need to get Kendrick in there.
Kendrick could have definitely assisted matters. It's not like, I think what is the, like, Liberty's version in actual, like, presentation is way better than what they come up with, obviously, in the hot tub. But it's still, like, obviously Radich gets it, but it's not that like scathing, you know, like it's not personally, it is, but it isn't. Like there are better ways to write diss anthems.
Why is everything to the tune of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star?
Everybody knows how to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Well, and I guess they're not composers. Like, this is not what they signed up for.
Especially because Liberty specifically said that's not the words. And it was bothering me that she didn't say lyrics. And I know that's a very snobby thing to be bothered by, but it did bother me.
One of my notes is a musical about Degrassi. This isn't High School Musical 3 senior year.
All the wonderful things that happen here. Like, what wonderful things are you talking about?
Right.
You've right. been here since, like, the 80s, the early 80s. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, Mr. Radich.
The time the fucking school burned down?
The way they really and truly just destroyed that character.
Yeah. It's a shame. I actually specifically don't like that they have him dressing like he's, like, a dad going on vacation.
Right?
This entire episode. That is offensive to me because I've seen him have way better wardrobe than like
he knows he's on his way out.
Yeah. Borrowed time, bitch. Borrowed time.
And just his face when JT's singing the wrong lyrics. And it's like, he's like all about it. It's so weird. It's so, this B plot is a lot.
He is like, those are fine words, Liberty. Like, he's just very dirt to dirt. Like, it's
also
not...
why the fuck does JT get detention?
Yeah, he doesn't do shit but try to present like an ass kissing version of the song. So why indeed does JT? And I mean, Liberty points that out. She's like, "Why are you here? Like, what are you doing here?" Essentially, it's like, I, you know, blah blah, makes up some dumb excuse. Like, it's like in The Breakfast Club when Allison's character is just like, "You want to know what I did to get and land myself in detention? Nothing. I didn't have anything better to do." Like, that's what it's giving. Like, he just showed up so that he could romance Liberty because he knew that's where she'd be.
Except that he really did get detention. Radich was like, "I'll see both of you in detention." I was like, "Fuck you, Radich."
But like, why JT? But that's another reason why Radich is on the way out, because his logic is flawed, and he's just not making sense. He's doing shit because he's irritated, and not because that's the right thing to do. I like that they finally get together because of the execution of the scene where they're, you know, propped up on their arms. But like, ultimately, it's more of a nostalgic feeling for that scene than an actual like, oh, this is a cute. It made me smile still because I know that Liberty has been crushing on JT for such a long time. But it also is like, girl. Like, the way that she said that going in to kiss him is just, it's painful.
Yeah, but also, like, props to Liberty for, like, going for it.
Yeah, she's like, this is what I wish I'd done instead. And, like, more power to her for that being the way that they kiss for the first time. It's a mixed bag of a scene because it's, like, it's not like I don't feel like the yay Liberty vibes, because I do, but I also am like, it's a little fucked up, you know? It's a yeah. little bit like, she deserves better. Like, she shouldn't have had to like suffer for 4 years and then like the torment of JT when he didn't want to deal with her and then he would use her and just all of the different flavors of their relationship, and now it's like, oh, we can work together and like I can find attraction to you through an assignment, essentially, like, or you know,
well,
or
yeah,
an extracurricular
activity too. It's like,
whatever.
It's so weird, he's never been interested in her. He's yeah. so uninterested in her that he pretended to be gay.
Yeah, it's like,
and now like, we're just like, oh, Liberty.
Yeah, it's the payoff we want, but is like, does it make sense? And is it as satisfying as we want it to be? I ultimately feel like if I were to look back at their relationship, I'm not like, it's not all of the, you know, the fuzzy, you know, warm and fuzzies that other people feel about their relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit, if you think about all the things that Liberty had to go through to get those kisses, it's like, I don't know, like, he kind of puts her through a lot, and it's fine. I'm more invested in a B plot than normal with this B plot, which is like, good. I actually do like that she adapted a play from a book, and that it flew in her high school, because that was something that would have never flown in my high school. I am a theater nerd, so like the theater aspect of it made me a little bit more engaged, I guess. Mm-hmm. We see a tiny bit of Emma. We see a tiny bit of Alex, you know, in this B plot.
Right. I love that Alex is like, I'm going to try out for the school play.
Mm-hmm. Just randomly, just gonna go for it.
nothing else hinting in your personality towards being interested in that. But like, I also think that like, it's funny that she says like, I'm not going to get expelled over a play after actions that she's done.
Right.
Could have gotten her expelled.
Well, she's learned now.
3 days later, yeah.
It's gotta be more than 3 days. Jimmy's like,
he's doing push-ups with the little bar in his bed.
Pull-ups
and the little bar in his bed, and frustrated with the multiple visitors he's getting that are only asking about his prognosis or his...
Right, and then he gets Craig, who's just like, let me tell you about how I'm in love with your ex.
Yeah. I love that. I love their dynamic, actually. That's probably like a highlight of the A-plot. It's a good friendship.
Yeah.
Because we see him and Marco, where it's like placating, and it's like there's no pacifying nature to like Jimmy and
Jimmy's
Craig's
like, bro, you're insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marco's like, just like, shopping spree.
Marco's just like, what budget am I working with here? Like, am I working with something real or am I working with some bullshit? Oh, I'm working with something real. Can get you a hat.
And like so many ties. Why did we buy like 15 ties for one day?
For one day. And then like, I mean, this must be like a spring summer wedding for the color suit that was bought. Otherwise, Marco.
It's such a bad suit. Otherwise, it's not Marco, tailored at all.
You're wrong. But like,
when you buy a suit, they tailor it.
Yeah. I think Marco is the wrong person to take suit advice from, because if we recall, his suit, like this season, it wasn't that long ago where he had the curved up boots and like the very poorly tailored. I think it was when he was running for president. It was terrible. Don't ask this man for suit advice because he doesn't know a tailor. He's never met a tailor in his life. So, yeah.
So I guess we're talking about the A plot now. Okay.
Yeah. Did we? All right. So I guess maybe we should.
No, I mean, I think we covered like the B plot's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Radich is like overcorrecting terribly. Like now we care about. Fuck it. And like, I'm sorry, these kids were traumatized. Yeah. Listen to them when they tell you what they need.
Right. Liberty's like literally a student died here and you're trying to make it like, you know, cheesy choreography and dumbass dances, dumbass songs are going to like fix this. It's not, you know, we have to actually take the time to like grieve and like go through the slightly hard time. And I think Dracula is actually a really good outlet for a lot of the students, and you should be able to tell the way that you have the engagement of the students and they're willing to give up their Saturdays and shit, that they're wanting an outlet that's not yoga and talking to Miss Sove, who's working on limited resources. Right. So,
and Mr. Oleander's busy wooing a high school student, so like
Ashkawanda lesson attendance is going to drop. It's going to plummet, just so you know. But yeah. I think that's like Manny is supposed to be like the main character in the Dracula play. So she's like wanting, if the play switches to like a musical about Sheila, she'll play Sheila and she does not want to wear a hairnet. So she's like, please.
Bitch, you would be lucky.
You would
be Sheila.
You would. I think a more iconic role has not been drafted in all of Degrassi theaterdom.
No. Oh my god, I wish we could get Sheila on the show.
That would be fun.
I wonder what she's doing.
Just kicking it.
She's in like the latest My Big Fat Greek whatever.
Oh yeah. Wait, wasn't she in the older one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's work is good.
But I bet she'd have time to come talk with a With a couple of Sosters.
With a couple of Sosters.
Okay, so on to the A plot, I think.
I think so. So this is a two-parter. So, because, yeah, that's what stretches across the B plot. They kiss at the end. Mm-hmm. They get detention. They get fired by Radich. They kiss. Big whoop.
And now it's time for Jibberty.
Now it's time for Jibberty. We're in that era, which is an era of itself, in and of itself. So excited to be there because it's a benchmark. But yeah, going to Craig and Ashley, leading up to Ashley's dad's wedding, which is also like a benchmark. Ashley and Craig are back together, and
Kate Kerwin is not pleased, and she is not even trying to be polite about it.
If Craig Manning has no haters,
Kate Kerwin is dead. She's dead in the ground.
She is dead and buried because the way that she hates this man, this little boy,
she's just like, fuck you, Craig Manning. All my homies hate Craig Manning.
Yeah, it's hilarious the way that she's just like, please don't contact my daughter. Don't look at my daughter. Forget my daughter exists, okay? Like, I just got her back to normal, bitch.
And Craig's just like, but Ashley, I love you.
But I love you, Ash. And you're so disrespectful that your family won't acknowledge that I love you, Ash. And it's like, Craig, you literally had her in a three-way relationship and she didn't know it.
Right.
Like at the beginning of the school year.
Knocked up Manuela Santos.
Like, and it's not even the beginning of the school year. It's the beginning of the year.
No, I love that Kate is just like not here for it and not trying to be diplomatic. She's just like, literally, fuck you, dude. I hate you.
Yeah. She is not for it. She's like,
I wish my daughter had never met you.
Yeah. Like, I know your type. I know that you think that you're like, you're charming and that you're going to come in and like, do this to my daughter again, but like, I see your game and I'm not letting you win. I'm going to tell her that you're a terrible choice and she's gonna listen to me one of these days. And I mean, Kate is very firm in her stance. She is like, I don't fucking like you. You're not gonna change. And all the while, Joey's painting his house. So right? That's interesting.
Well, and also, like, and I will say, okay, so, like, when Craig comes home, Joey is actually, like, handling it well. But the way that he's just, like, pissed and Snake's like, no, dude, I work with teenagers all the time. Something's legit wrong with this kid. Yeah. And Joey's like, nothing a good grounding won't fix. Like, yeah, fuck you, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And also, okay, so Craig causing a scene at the wedding, not cool, but he's in a manic episode, get it, whatever.
Yeah.
Joey is a whole ass adult who is not currently manic.
Right.
Who also rushes into this wedding and causes a fucking scene.
He does. He's like, I've got $4,000 worth of damages on my hands, bitch. What the fuck is, like...
Plus
like,
Craig's shopping spree, and Craig's just like, here's $3,000. It's all I have.
Yeah. Like, here's a check. I'm going elsewhere. I don't know where yet, but I'm going. Yeah. It sucks for Joey. And it sucks for Craig, too. I'm not gonna say that it's like, oh... Like, it sucks on both sides. They are both suffering in this scenario. I think Joey is, like, trying to just float above what's really happening for as long as he can. Because, like, dude, you have to know that your child is really suffering. Like, after a point. Like, you've got to know. Like, you've had people telling you from different sources. You have evidence. You can look back at what you've seen. And now contextualize it and be like, oh, okay, they've been suffering for longer than I realize.
Right.
Which I think evidently Craig has. Like, he has been, he's been talking about, so in the beginning of the first part, he's like in media immersion or homeroom. It's, or no, independent study. Sorry. He's in independent study because he makes that clear. And he talks to Ashley and he's like, I wrote these two songs. Like, this is more songs than I've ever written in my entire, blah, blah, blah. Like, can you look at them? Like, part of me really wants to know what you think of these songs now, even though we're in the middle of doing something for school. And he completely ignores what Snake is calling him and saying to him and everything. He blocks everything out. He has tunnel vision. And there,
Craig's mental illness has been,
yeah,
obvious since Voices, or since Doves Cry.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think it's just been like excused to a sense, and like, because of the time it occurred, people are like, oh, it has to do with his father. And it has to do with that, versus like, no, Craig is like suffering. If his father was alive and well and still being a dick, he would still have these issues.
Right.
I think it's possible that they're tricked, like, you know, causing it to manifest more severely. But I don't think that it's like, oh, this is something that's completely coming out of nowhere. Like, I think it's related to his age and just like he is growing up and dealing with all these different emotions and stuff. Like, it would happen regardless of how alive his father was.
Right.
It just sucks that like Snake sees it and like Joey is like, no, he's fine. Well, because
Joey is, as we have discussed several times, not trauma informed.
He is not trauma informed, and
it, not like, and I think ultimately Joey is a pretty good parent to Craig.
I think
that it is neglectful to bring a child who has been through so much trauma into your home and not,
yeah, have done any sort of like,
not do the work. Like, your family should be in therapy together.
And you should also know, like even what like Snake said, like Craig's dad wasn't the most stable guy. Like, there was no prognosis on Craig's dad. There's no indication that Albert Manning had any sort of chemical imbalance in his brain.
That we know of.
However, Snake is still saying, like, isn't it possible? Like, his dad was erratic. His dad flew off the handle and just, like, did things that were unpredictable. And similar to what Craig is doing, he's very emotional. He reacts and he just flies. You know, like, maybe this is related. And Joey's just like, no. Absolutely not. There's no way. The two are not related. But it's like Joey, like they could be. And I think that that's the one thing I wish that Joey would consider. It's just like, just because like, it's not something that you think could happen doesn't mean that it can't happen. Especially with someone who has a past that you're not 100% informed about. Like, Albert hid a bunch of things from him because they weren't friends. Albert hid a bunch of things from Craig. Like, Craig didn't know a lot of things about his father.
Right.
Like, there's just, I don't know. It just, like, yes, it's trauma-informed, like, that like, Joey is lacking that experience. Like, even just going to a class or whatever, he is lacking that. But he is also just lacking looking, like, context clues, looking around and like trying to.
Well,
just,
and I get you don't want something drastically wrong to be drastically wrong with your kid. Like, I get it.
Right.
And pretending like it's not isn't going to change the fact, change anything.
No.
Like, you're only going to make things worse by not being like, okay, Craig is having some sort of something. Like, we need to see doctors. We need to get this under control.
Yeah, I, like, honestly.
And if you'd gotten this kid therapy when you fucking took him in.
He should have been in therapy since he moved in with Joey. Maybe not every week, but twice a month.
Right.
Something like that. Like, Joey should have found, because I know that Albert's estate would have paid for that.
Right.
He could have.
It's Canada. Y'all have good health care.
And y'all have great health care. Obviously, it's not ideal. No system is ideal. Don't come for us Canadians. But look at the systems that we have in place in the U.S. and then come to talk to us about, you know, universal health care, please, because it's non-existent over here. I definitely think that it's a shame that Craig was not put in some kind of, like, therapy, that he was not, at least, like, that Joey did not look out for some warning signs. Because, like you said, of course you don't want to think, oh, there's something wrong with my kid. But you know that your kid has had a traumatic past.
Right. He became an orphan in the span of, like, 2 years.
Right. Like, that's not something that you can relate to. And it's definitely not something that anyone in your family, immediate family, can relate to. So why don't you seek help outside of yourself? Because you want better for Craig. You don't want him. Like, the reason you're taking him in is because you want better for him. And you want him to grow up with solid footing. And you want the shop to be there for, the dealership to be there for him someday if he needs it. You know, like, you want these things for Craig, but you don't think about the fact that you need Craig to be emotionally well to do some of these things. Like, he can't make it to adulthood if he does not have the tools to deal with his emotional ups and downs.
Right.
Like, whether that be medication or, like, behavioral therapy or whatever.
Cocaine.
Cocaine. He needs help. And it's like, it's sad that it has to be Ashley, an adolescent, who sees that he's in terrible danger and is like, we're going to get you some help, Craig. Like, I actually love Ashley in this episode. I would not, if I was 16, I don't know that I would have done anything differently in this episode, especially like how teenagers want to, like, they act like they are all doom and gloom, but they want to see the better and the best in situations. They're still kids, you know, like, they still have the optimism of, like, I hope this turns out in my favor. And that's all Ashley is doing through this episode, is, like, putting her faith in Craig and their relationship and being really, like, side busted by his illness, because he seems fine. Like, he seems a little bit, you know, excited, but, like, he's not to the point where he's going to, like, fight with her new dad-in-law and get pushed into a damn table.
Can we talk really quickly about
stepdad, not dad-in-law? I don't know why.
How disturbingly tan Aunt Sally is.
Okay, so Sally, bitch, you can, like, get these hands.
Okay, and first of all, like, has she ever even met Ashley before?
I don't think so, because the discussion was about how she had to go pick her up from the airport.
Mean anything.
Well, but where does she live? And, okay, so this wedding has only really been a thing for about a half a year.
Right.
When would she have gone to meet her?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe she, like, was visiting one time when Ashley was at, like, her dad's. But no, it's weird how this chick's just like, I'm Ashley's aunt.
Yeah.
And, like, no, you're her dad's about to be husband's older sister that we all just met, and you are disturbingly tan. Like, it is upsetting.
Yeah, she's definitely a chronic tanner. It's not cute, and it's also not a good look to be hitting on a high schooler when you're maybe 25.
Right.
And if you're younger than that, that's still gross.
Yeah, it's weird.
At 22, at 20, like, maybe, you know, you should not be hitting on a 16-year-old. He's 16. No. It's not like he's 17, almost 18. Like, that's still even gross.
Even then, I feel like if a person is still in high school and you are like...
If a person's still in high school, okay, but if Pretty Little Liars and other teen media would have you be believed, it's okay to hit on a person in high school as long as they're 18.
Or make out with them in the bathroom at a bar when they're 16 and you're their new English teacher. It's fine. You guys will get 16? Married one day.
But was she even 16 at that time? I think she was like 15.
I mean, it's the Pretty Little Liars timeline. So she probably started the day like 14. And then by the end of the day, she was 27.
Okay, preach on that Pretty Little Liars timeline.
Because, and now it's Christmas.
Because I can barely follow that shit.
The Pretty Little Liars timeline is my favorite thing. We're in school. We're getting coffee. We're back at school. It's swim practice. We're back at school. It's field hockey practice.
When do we actually go to school?
Let's go read learning? The bad seed.
The learning? Well, I'm glad you asked. Don't ask. We're going to learn eventually, and like somebody's going to be summa cum laude out this bitch.
We're getting chased through the woods. Why did we wear high heels? We've been getting chased through the woods for 3 years now.
We're never prepared to run through the woods.
No, they never are. They never are.
I feel like it is one of those things with Pretty Little Liars that if I did not like watch it at a nostalgic like high point in my life, I would not want to rewatch it.
I watched Original Sin and I hated every second of it.
I just don't recommend that people watch it who didn't like watch it growing up. Not even growing up, but like, you know.
No, dude, my friend Erica was at Pearl Street the other night. And she and I were talking about Pretty Little Liars because we both watched it. And one of her friends is like, oh, what's that? And she's like, you should watch it. And I looked at her friend and I was like, Erica is no friend of yours. Like, friends do not tell friends to watch Pretty Little Liars.
Friends do. Yeah, friends actually warn friends against.
Right, unless you're going to ask me who A is, and then I'm going to say, go watch Pretty Little Liars, because I can't explain it. I've watched it thrice now, and I don't even know.
The answer is actually quite complicated, because there are multiple A's. If you want me to spoil Gossip Girl for you, I'm talking the older Gossip Girl. I actually don't think that the newer Gossip Girl ever made it to a point where they could establish. They established who Gossip Girl was, like, in the pilot, which was fucking dumb. And then it was all downhill from there. So I can tell you who the OG Gossip Girl was. And it's dumb. It was Dan. I think we spoiled it.
Yeah, you already said that. It's dumb. But you can't just like spoil stupid. Pretty Liars. Especially like somebody will be in like season one and they're like, who's A? And it's like, okay, well, it's Mona. And it's Cece. And it's Allie. And it's Mrs. De Laurentiis.
Kind of.
And it's Spencer's evil British twin. And. Like, it's so convoluted. I hate Pretty Little Liars. And I mean, I love it. I love it so much. That show had a grip on me for eight years. When the Charles reveal happened, not the like who Charles was, but just that Charles was A.
Yeah.
I called my former friend Joey, if you're listening, fuck you. I called my former friend Joey and we're talking about it and I'm so fucking heated that my neighbor, like two houses down, who was a friend of mine at the time, heard me and thought that something was wrong and came to my house to check on me.
Like, you good, bitch?
And I had to be like, yeah, no, my show just really pissed me the fuck off. He's like, okay, I'm gonna go home to like my wife and baby now. Glad you're okay.
When I tell you I was in Germany during the time that like Toby got was revealed to be a part of the A-Team for that very, very brief
The Toby Cavanaugh arc. Time. I love. With Durag Toby?
Yeah. And, like, a friend of mine, Molly, at the time, we were both in Germany at the same time together. We're just like, we're going to be cut off from this fucking whole fucking thing because at the time, and I still think it's this way, probably not actually. Streaming, I know, goes to different countries at different times, but it was airing on TV. So the shows on TV would not air in Germany. It was a different channel, obviously, and it would not air for maybe 4 to 6 months difference of time. So it's like you could not watch the premiere in Germany. Like the schedule was completely different. They were a season behind or so, and it was just like, fuck. So we were literally getting, you know, like dipping and dodging the internet, which was very easy at that time to like dip and dodge the internet. But it's just like we very much were suffering because we had no Pretty Little Liars like fix. And it was like, if you did not watch it, you were behind and people would talk about it. It was still that like water cooler sort of vibe.
Right.
Like they really. And that was like, I think the very end of that.
Of that era. Yeah.
Of that era. Because like after that, yeah, it was like whatever the fuck people wanted to watch at that given time. Like you still have the big shows, you know, like Game of Thrones and, you know, give me another one. Breaking Bad.
Well, but Breaking Bad was still that era.
Breaking Bad was still that era. Okay, so yeah, Game of Thrones and like.
But you do get like HBO shows, you know, and like Hulu doesn't Euphoria do like Netflix does.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Euphoria, like usually they'll drop like one at a time. 2 episodes when the season starts and then it's weekly.
Yeah.
And I'm about that. Yeah. But anyway, this is not Degrassi.
No, I think
but if there's one thing we're going to do, it's talk about Pretty Little Liars.
Let's talk about Pretty Little Liars. Yeah, it's I really think that my biggest gripe in this episode is that Craig was failed, and there were multiple instances beforehand that he was just displaying behavior that just probably was like not super even if he off the hadn't charts.
Been, he should have been in therapy.
He should have been in therapy either way. Like if Joey had like taken the time to like realize that, okay, I've got a child in my care who's experienced a great deal of trauma and perhaps I should attend to that because I don't want that to fester and become a problem later in their life. It took a severe mental breakdown, a mentee B.
A little mentee B for Craig.
For Craig to like be recognized as like someone who was in severe need of aid. Like he needs to be like monitored.
Okay, so a thing I need to talk about is Craig trashes the hotel room, right?
He fucks that hotel room up.
He fucks that hotel room up, but like nothing is broken.
Except for like the pictures.
Except no, because the picture that they carry out of the room broken, when he's on the phone with Ashley and she says that she wants to marry him someday, that picture is lying on the bed intact. Intact.
Yeah, no, I thought, not the first time, but when you're younger and you watch this scene, you think he breaks the TV.
He doesn't break shit.
He really doesn't. He kind of fucks everything up. And I think they add a lot of these effects in post. Whoever's like the Foley person, kudos to you, boo. Like you did that shit. You fucked that Foley up because I swore that that man is trashing this hotel room. He does trash it.
Right, but I don't think he does $4,000 worth of damage because he literally doesn't break anything. Like, he knocks shit over.
Yeah.
But the TV is intact. The painting is intact until it isn't.
Have you guys ever knocked over a tube TV? Because I have.
I can't say that I have.
I have.
I love how you're asking as though our listeners are going to be like, I have.
They might. I don't know how they talk about.
Yeah, but they're not going to respond right now.
Right.
True. You like waited. You're like, have you guys ever?
You guys ever
fucking Dora the Explorer over here? Like, can you say Vominos?
Very good. No, I have done that, and it's very hard to break those bitches because the TV screen is actually glass and not like soft plastic matter, whatever the fuck the flat screen TVs are made out of.
Right. No, it's very weird. There's no way.
It's not $4,000.
It's not $4,000 worth of unless like he went in the bathroom and ripped all the fixtures off and like we just didn't get to see that. But like short of that, that's not, there's just no way. It's not $5,000 or $4,000 worth of damage. Like it's just not. It's just not.
It's just, and I mean, like, Craig was pissed.
That hotel was like, we're going to get this bag.
They're like, go in there and fuck shit up a little bit more.
You feel good about yourself stealing from a single father?
He would give me the shirt off his back.
One painting that you broke yourself because I saw that shit perfectly intact on the bed. While Craig was getting a phone call, that would have been the end of his trashing the hotel room. It's not like Ashley said she was going to marry him. He's like, that's great. Hangs up and is like, let me trash this room a bit more before I go.
Kick some more shit over.
Yeah, like, now it's celebratory.
It is not, it's not what you think. You know, it's not what you think when you're originally watching the scene. I think it's a little bit more dramatic the first several times you see it, but then when you look, it really is a lot of sound effects versus actual shit breaking.
I know, I was like, I bet this was fun to film, and then I was like, not really, it all seems very controlled,
like very coordinated.
Very coordinated, very like
you should have, you know, Jake, like, Epstein only got, on and ask him.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
It is. But no, it does.
Girl, that was so loud, the reverb on that.
What?
You putting your glass down?
Oh, shit.
But no, I really love Ashley in this episode. I'm done with the Ashley Kerwin slander. I'm not here for it. It's not deserved. I know. She takes Jimmy's rap off the track. Jimmy's rap wasn't even that good. Me and the mic, we coexist. Go fuck yourself, Jimmy.
Sis. Flow is a glass box with no excess, and you could observe while you trap in it. Took my lady's trap and I sprinkled some rap in it.
Exactly. It's giving, or at least your performance of it just there, is giving like Lupe Fiasco, not in a good way.
Wait a minute. I was just listening to Lupe Fiasco earlier, and it reminds me of
it is the LA 2024. Complex. Who the fuck is listening to Lupe Fiasco? Unironically.
Me. He came up in my shuffle, Caroline. What?
If you are what you say, you
wasn't
are.
Wasn't Superstar?
I'm so sorry, listeners. It's been a long time since we've recorded, and I have a cold. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm like high on not feeling well and cough syrup.
Yeah. No, it's like I don't, for me, I don't have as much of a severe of Ashley, especially in this situation with Craig. I don't think that she handles this in a way that most
it with so much grace and understanding, and like, she's frustrated, you know, she was just humiliated, but as soon as she realizes that like, no, something is wrong with Craig, she's like, no, something's wrong with you, like, let's get you help, that's what matters, and I'm here.
Yeah.
And like, no, Ashley's a fucking real one, and I will not stand for Ashley Kerwin slander, and neither will Jimmy Brooks.
Clearly neither will Jimmy Brooks. I really do think that in this episode she's making a lot of sense. Like, it's not like she is like
Craig, like, I, like, fuck you. Like, I don't appreciate you. Like, she's like, I do want to be with you. I was listening to Kick Push. Sorry, that took me so long to figure out, by Lupe Fiasco. Kick Push. Look that up, guys.
I think that I just found originally everything Ashley did was like the worst thing. But in retrospect, she has a lot of normal reactions to bullshit. Like, I right. don't want to be in. If I was the way that she's publicly embarrassed by Craig is like, to me, so cringe and dude. Like, I can't I can't take being in that situation potentially. Like, right. he well, stands and like- up and he like makes an announcement like when she does not want that shit to be announced. Like, he right. shows back up and like gets pushed into a table, like, or fights and gets, you know, shoved into a table accidentally. And it's like a lot of like mortifying moments that she, like you said, handles with grace. And like, at any age, a person like would have to kind of collect themselves and be like, ooh, how do I do right. this? Like, right. I really want like- to.
And I don't know, like, yeah, Ashley does some fucked up shit. Like, announcing Manny's pregnancy to the whole school was a dick move. And a pretty expected response from a teen who has just gone through the trauma of being cheated on. And now you're walking around school with the girl you cheated on her with, planning a fucking family. Like, it's a dick move. It's also a trauma response.
Yeah. Yeah. I think retrospect, like, you know, hindsight 2024 is realizing that, like, Ashley was not the worst in the equation. No. Where, in most situations, like, and if she was the worst in the situation, it's because she's a teenage girl and she's never, to me, topping out any of, like, a lot of situations that people love to talk about in Degrassi history. Like, she does not go a lot of places and do a lot of things that, like, Emma and Manny and even, like, you know, other main, quote-unquote,
right. No, like, Darcy. There was, like, a post in one of the groups the other day about, like, if you could, you know, tell off any character, who would it be? Mine would be Ashley. And I'm like, really? In a world where we've got, you know, a guy's fucking distributing underage pornographic material. We've yeah. got a guy who literally puts a girl in a coma and then shoots a kid. Mm-hmm. We've got Emma. Like, we've just got, like, there's so many people doing horrible things. And Ashley's yeah. who you want to tell off.
Yeah, it's because people, I think, like, we have had to realize that, like, when we rewatch the show with a critical lens and for this podcast, that, like, our opinions have changed as older people, you know, like, we started watching this in our teenage years, like, or preteen, in my case, like, we have formed opinions that had to be overcome, so right. to speak. Like, I used to love Ellie, and now I realize why. It's because she has severe abandonment issues, and so do I. It's not because she's a great character that the acting is like, oh, you know. It's really not. It's because of, like, what she in particular was dealing with. And I know there are people who can relate to Ashley, and that's why she was never the villain for them. But for me, I couldn't really relate to Ashley, and that's why I didn't. But now I can see, I don't just have to see a character who I relate to understand, you know, okay, this is the plight they were in, this is what they were written into, blah, blah, blah. Like, Ashley really did have a lot of minor nuanced issues happen to her that I might not have experienced, but I still do. Watching this show from a critical lens, I understand her better, but I also think I understand why people hate her a little bit more.
Understand why people hate her, but I also just think that it's, like, so over the top.
It
is. In the grand scheme of Degrassi things. Like, there are so many people who do so much worse shit, and we all want to get mad at Ashley for doing very, like, basic teenage girl shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. I think the misogyny is coming from inside the house.
It most certainly is coming from inside the house. Yeah, this fandom has a thing with, like, uplifting the males, and
it's not just this fandom.
It's a lot of other, you know, it's this world, but in a so to speak. But I think that, like, Degrassi has a lot of different characters, and some of them, you know, some of them are male, some of them are female, some of them are none of the above, and we can't we have to look at their actions, and we have to really if you're watching with us, and the way that we watch, we're very critical about what's going on. And it's like, of course these are teenagers, but like, these are topics that can relate to our lives now, you know, right. Like, this could occur right now. Someone that you love deeply could be going through a mentee and embarrass you at a wedding of a loved one. And what are you going to do? You know, like, what is going to be your response?
Are you going to be an Ashley or a Joey?
And it's like, I think that's why Degrassi is so cool to watch at different points in your life, because it is like, yes, these things are happening to teenagers. Yes, this is from a teenage perspective, but at the same time, these are situations. And I think, I don't know if they make the effort for them to be situations that it can extend past certain age groups, but like, they do, you know, like,
right.
I think about all the time, like, how would I respond to this? How would I react to this? How would I react to getting a social disease?
Hopefully not by calling it a social disease, because literally I've never heard anybody but Emma Nelson call it that.
Only because of Emma Nelson would I potentially do that. And I mean, right, thankfully.
Right. I mean, obviously I've heard more people call it that, but it's only in the context of like.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I think that we don't realize extend into our current lives as people in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s and our 50s. Like, it's a human show. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's cool to talk about it at different ages. But like, Ashley is not a character who enrages me anymore. You know, like, she used to very much irritate me, but she doesn't.
Right. Like, I find her annoying sometimes still. Annoying, but yeah, like, I'm sorry. This is a show filled with teenagers doing very teenage things, some of which are horrible because teenagers are kind of horrible. And, like, in the grand scheme of very teenage things, nothing that Ashley does compares to a lot of the shit that other people do. And I'm not gonna stand for the Ashley slander anymore. This is officially not an Ashley Kerwin slander podcast. It is still an Emma Nelson slander podcast, though, so fret not. That's not going anywhere.
Fret not, indeed. Yeah, no, I think that we both realize that, like, a lot of the things that Ashley is hated on for are, like, not really fair.
Right.
Very misogynistic, very rooted in, like, outdated opinions. And it's like, she, especially in this episode, but in other episodes too, it's not just this one, not just this two-parter, she's just fighting for her fucking life and trying to get Craig to realize that, like, it's not about the right now, you know, like, that's what he's focused on. He has the tunnel vision for right now. If it's not right now, he doesn't understand it. And she's like, I am 16 years old. I am not going to get married to you right now. But like, one day, I actually like you enough to say one day, you know, like, that is a very, like, not even just teenage girl, but teenager response of like, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I found it very hard to imagine my life at this point, you know, like,
oh yeah,
I was just like, I can't imagine being grown with my own responsibilities, my own money, my own house.
Right. Know? No, if you did, it was like 30, flirty and thriving.
Right. It was
you
not
were just like, there was no like, oh, here's the work I did to figure the things out and get to this point. It was just like, boom. You're in your 30s and everything works.
Right. Yeah. I have a hard time being like, I actually worked for this and built myself up and like had a point in time where I didn't have the things I wanted. And like, you know, it's hard to envision all of those steps and all of the processes that you have to go through as a kid. You know, you don't have that concept yet. But to be like, as a kid, like, I actually believe Ashley in being like, you know, I do love Craig. I love him. But like, Sally's bitch ass is like, what are you going to tell him? And she's like, I want to tell him someday. Just not right now.
Sally, you know? Literally, why are you here?
Sally, fuck you. You interloper bitch.
Don't you have a spray tan appointment to get to?
She missed it, but she also has one tomorrow.
Sally goes to get spray tanned like thrice a day.
She has a standing noon appointment. I don't like Sally. I have a really hard time with her.
Well, good news. We're never going to see her again.
I know, right? It's fabulous news.
All right. So we talked about the B-plot. We talked about Pretty Little Liars. We talked about the A-plot.
I have one more thing to mention in the A-plot.
Okay.
So for me, it's when Craig is beating Joey's ass. Fist to cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley comes in and he turns around. And she's like, you know, she's like, Craig, what are you doing? And he turns around and he like blinks at her. And it's like his eyes are bleary. And then he blinks and he recognizes her. And he's like, oh, Ash. But that was like the most phenomenal acting I've seen.
Dude, Jake Epstein.
On a fucking kids show, bro. Right. Like, can I talk about how that's like, it possibly could have been written into the script. I would love to see the script. But I actually believe that a portion of that was him. Yeah. You know, even if it says Craig turns around and blinks Ashley into recognition. Look at what the fucking 17-year-old kid did. You know?
Right.
Amazing.
Right. No, Jake Epstein is incredible.
Yeah, that man alive. It's a crap. But yes, no, that was it for me. I feel like the A plot is good.
One of my notes from the B plot that I do want to revisit really quickly is, do we think that DJ Me Time ever drops the Radish song during a set? Because I'm just saying, like, if Rebecca Black can like drop Friday at her sets and embrace it, like, come on, DJ Me Time. Give me like a remix of the Radishes song.
Do it. You scared. I would love that.
Yes. You want to head on over to the corner?
Yes. The fashion corner. I wish that it was like, I feel like it's slightly zesty this week. Okay. I have a couple. Right at the top for me, it's Manny and the yellow tracksuit. It's like
yes, very cute.
Very cute. She's got like the olive green midriff shirt and then like the yellow matching tracksuit and track top and bottom. Very cute. And I love her hair in this era. It's just like long and sleek and middle parted. Very cute. Very simple.
I liked Ashley's shirt in the beginning. It had a lot going on.
I like this shirt, too. It's very Ashley of this era.
It's very Ashley. It's very cute. It's a little weird.
It is a little weird, but it looks good on her.
I also really liked Emma at the rehearsal where they present the Radish song.
Yeah.
Oh, with her little like tie-dye pink and olive green tank top.
Yeah, I actually like I don't know if I liked it, but it stood out. I think for me it's more of a misstep. Manny's outfit in this scene. The vertical, I think it's just more it's of the time. Weird.
It looks like she's wearing a costume.
Right. I think it's just like what was popular at the time. It's the miniskirt that's like burgundy-ish, but then the top that's way more like red.
The skirt's cute. The top is weird.
The skirt is cute. The top is not it. She could have done like a solid white top and that would have been much better.
But yeah, and she's wearing like these chunky white shoes with it. It's just like, I love the shoes. I love the skirt. Give me a different top.
Another fashion misstep that I had is the hair on the minister at Robert and Christopher's wedding. Is atrocious. This is somebody's wedding. Have some respect.
Please comb your hair. Oh, no. I liked it. Okay, so I felt like for Ashley's wedding dress, it was very of the time. I thought it was really cute. Like it.
Oh, really? I thought it was cute, and I thought it looked good on her.
I thought it looked good on her for the time, but I also thought it was a little bit like, okay, we are dressing young ladies like older ladies, you know, like the cut of it was a little bit like I could see an older woman wearing that like now, but I think that was just of the time. I think it still looked good on her and everything. I just think it was like not my favorite look, and I'm glad we don't wear shit like that anymore, although we might start, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I pointed out in the deep dive about Craig's, like, what Marco put Craig in. It's very bad. Marco, you should not be anybody's personal stylist.
Yeah, it's like a tan suit. Did we learn nothing from Obama?
We didn't. I don't think so. Nothing was retained anyway. It's just bad. It's not a good look for Craig. It's giving... It's like Southern lawyer. What's his name from To Kill a Mockingbird?
Atticus Finch.
Atticus Finch.
It is giving Atticus Finch.
He needs to be defending somebody in a like a court of law in the South, not going to a wedding as a 16-year-old boy. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, no.
Marco, baby, what is you doing?
Marco, you never go full Atticus Finch, okay? You have to never go full Atticus. Why did you just say sorry for the ugly cackle on mic, guys. I just got a fucking picture from Caroline the Menace.
Because I watched that episode the other night and it made me think of you.
We both love Superstore.
It's so good.
It's so good. If you have not watched Superstore, please watch with us and then like let us know your thoughts, because we would love to like know your thoughts. Also, The Good Place, Caroline kind of bullied, if you will, me into this series, but I'm not upset about it. The watching of the series, not the bullying, but it's been good so far. Yeah, no, I'm done with you. Stop sending me random images during recording.
That's what Jerusha's uterus looks like.
Oh, yeah. Poor Jerusha.
And it's relevant because Ephraim Ellis's mom's name is Jerusha. So.
The relevance that Degrassi brings. I have started hearing Whatever It Takes just like in like random. I was watching the Upshaws when I was taking out my friend's locks on Friday, and I heard Whatever It Takes, and I was just, my ears perk up. Every time I hear it,
I can make it through.
It's just like, I want to pop out of the corner. Like, huh? I'm already here, but I want to pop out of a corner. Yeah. Do you have any more fashion?
I don't have fashion. Do you have more fashion?
Mm-mm. I don't.
We got a triple black hole this week.
We do.
We do. This is the last we are ever going to see of Robert Kerwin,
ooh,
Christopher whatever, presumably Kerwin, and Kate Kerwin. So Ashley is now an orphan too.
Damn! Really?
And Jeff Isaacs disappeared.
Damn! Well, yeah, we do that. Yeah, damn!
So now Ash and Toby are living some weird, like, don't tell mom the babysitter's dead life, I guess.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow. So pour one out for the homies. And
I did not know this was Kate's last fucking...
I had to check it.
Fucking tight, like...
And I guess Robert gets mentioned more because he sends Ashley to England, but... But that's it. No more Kerwins.
And, like,
Ashley
also,
is the last of her kind.
Ashley's the last of her kind. Also, like, Toby's barely in this.
He's at the wedding, like, chasing Sally around.
Yeah, right. Like, that's
like, she's not my aunt.
He's clearly not involved with the play, so he's got to be, like, mentioned, I guess, because he's supposed to be there. If he's not there, it's weird.
Right. But is it really that weird for Toby to not go to his dad's girlfriend's ex-husband's gay wedding?
Is it that weird? When you put it like
but
that.
But Jeff disappeared, so I guess Robert's Toby's dad now.
Mm-mm-mm. I hope that's not canon. Please don't be canon, please.
Oh, you know what we didn't touch on in the A plot is that we get to hear the demo that Downtown Sasquatch recorded. It's bad.
Marco brought that accordion into the booth. Marco said, "I'm gonna do whatever I can,
whatever
to make
it takes,
this accordion, whatever it takes to make this accordion immortal."
Ashley said, "Stop trying to make the accordion happen.
It's not going to happen." And Marco said, "Want to bet, bitch?"
But on that note,
pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I think mine probably happens pretty close off the top. Okay, yeah, it's in this conversation where they're presenting the CD to Craig, and Craig's like, "It's kind of," and Spinner says, "Awful, horrible. Seizure inducing? Oh, how about lousy?"
Okay, so my first one is actually when Ashley says, or when Craig tells Ashley he'll call her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was gonna.
And Kate says, "Don't bother."
Don't bother. Yeah.
And then in that scene with the demo,
yeah,
I first have Spinner saying, "It's what we were supposed to record until you gave it all up for Miss Band Breaker Upper."
Yeah.
And then also when he tells him, he like gives him the CDs and he's like, "If you throw them real hard at the ceiling, sometimes they stick.
Yeah. I've got Snake saying, "The computer in the corner, it's lonely. Go introduce yourself." And I have Craig saying, "This is supposed to be independent study time. Me, independent and walking. You, study my butt leaving." And Snake says, "Well, they can study your butt in the office now."
Yeah, I had that one too. And then I have Kate. Man, Kate is just not even trying to hide her disdain for this kid.
Nope.
When Craig shows up and she goes, "Ashley, I made it clear there's no room for extra guests, especially uninvited ones."
Yeah.
Which wouldn't any extra guest at this point be an uninvited guest? But, you know, whatever.
She's got to lay it on extra thick, both sides. I've got Jimmy saying when Craig visits him in his hospital room and he's like, "Ashley's this close to breaking up with me." Jimmy says, "It's her turn, right?" And I just love that. I love that Jimmy's not for any of the bullshit.
I have when Raditz shows up and Liberty goes, "The enemy approaches."
Yes. I have Craig in the hotel room with Ashley and she's like, "What if we only needed one bed? That is, if you brought something." And Craig goes and gets it. And he's like, "Never again will I be without." And I just think
self-inflicted gunshot wound. Yeah. We love a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Like, he's just real. I was like, wait.
Right?
He's trying
to
shatter himself for some bullshit, which he should.
My last one is, again, Liberty. Radishes. radishes, not so sweet, red and round and gross to eat. They have power and cruel little voices saying, I run Degrassi, you have no choices. Ugly and mean and slightly obscene, stubbornest radishes I've ever seen. She really thought she ate.
She did. Radish is like going to sit there for the rest of the night thinking about that. Like, how does this relate to me? Like they were saying,
Am I the radish?
No.
No, that can't be.
No, that can't be it.
But I'm glad I gave him detention anyway.
Right. I got to think of something else. But this is a good punishment.
It's probably about Sheila because radishes are a food.
And Sheila does food things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be about Spinner because he worked in both the calf and the dot.
The mental gymnastics that Radich will do to not take responsibility. I have mine. My last one came just before that because I think that she did slightly go off with this, with Liberty saying, a student died in this school, Mr. Radich, and fuzzy songs with awkward choreography isn't going to help us deal with it.
Yep.
Like she like boom bitch, and then she was. Then she thought she really like she. You already ate, and then you really thought no. You could have just saved that, just in that little poem. But yeah, and my shots fired.
Okay, so you want to start with Shining Stars or Super Bummers?
Let's save the best for last. I suppose, get into our super bummers.
Radich, obviously.
Yeah, and we won't be seeing, spoiler alert, very much of him going forward. So, I mean, this works. They give him a little, you know, send off in this episode, kind of. He gone. But, yeah, definitely Radich. I'm definitely going to go Craig.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I know Craig.
Craig
is suffering, but he still sucks.
He still bummed me out.
And I think Joey too, because I wanted Joey to like step up and realize that Craig was suffering.
Right before was, Craig kicked his ass.
And no, Craig. Yeah, there was just the ass part, and then there was no. Then he realized, okay, perhaps he's suffering. Like, I've gotten my ass kicked by my 16-year-old son, stepson, perhaps.
I'm going to give it to Caitlin, too.
Caitlin, yeah, because she's just there a little bit too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is her house.
Fuck that. Stay in the back, bitch. Work the back. I don't want to see you and your little smeared up shirt. No, I'm joking. Yeah, she tried, but then she also let Joey get his ass kicked. I'm not gonna say you jump in that because you don't.
Right, but maybe like take Angie in the other room.
Maybe take it. Right, Angie's freaking out. Like, Daddy, no, you get your ass beat, Daddy, no. And she's just like not, barely covering her eyes. It's like Craig. Stop beating his ass, Craig. Like, you could have maybe children should have been shooed away.
I mean, give it to Marco, too, for not being, for one, not being like, really, Joey, who can't even afford his own house, gave you his credit card and said, go wild.
Right. For Marco, for not questioning the situation.
And then for being like, yeah, this suit's a good idea. You know what you really need is like 15 ties.
And a hat.
You know what? Let's give 15 more ties just for good measure. You can just and like wear them.
Fly ass belt, you know? Get that fly ass belt pop. Like, if you don't get out my face, like, Marco, you set him up. You were still pissed off. That's what happened. You were still pissed off and you dressed him accordingly. Because there ain't no other explanation. Hilarious. Let me think. Is there anybody else? No, I don't think so.
No. Shining Stars, Ashley.
Ashley.
Jimmy.
Liberty. Jiminy.
Liberty.
Jiminy. Jiminy. Jiminy Cricket. Yeah. I'm so sorry I said his name like that multiple times, guys. Just, it's okay.
I just He'll had be a, all right.
I just had a slight problem with my body. And, I mean...
Snake.
Yeah. Snake for not, like... Snake is going through it. Snake for not flipping over a whole table filled with computers and, like, beating Craig's ass. Children's asses. And for being like,
Joey, dumbass, your kid is going through something.
Obviously, you know, the intervention part of it. No, yeah, that, more that, more that, more that. No. I appreciate that he was like, yeah, I see a lot of teenagers, and this is not some typical teenager shit.
Right, something's wrong with your kid. You gotta do something.
You gotta do something. You need to address this because something's going on. And yeah, he's definitely a real one for that because... But, like, if your friend is a teacher and you're not, like, looking out like that, like, what is the point of having a friend as a teacher?
Right. Do better, Joey.
Like, yeah. Joey needs to understand that Craig has been going through it. And maybe it's been dormant for a time, you know, and, like, goes in and out of, like, stuff that's really affecting him. But, like, he's always going through something, you know? And he should have a fucking therapist before it gets to the point of inpatient fucking holds. Okay. Right. But yeah. I guess now.
Now we ask the question. Does it go there?
Does it go there?
Does it go there? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Got a little menti B. We've got $4,000 in property damage. We got a ruined wedding.
Which I think probably the hotel committed themselves. The hotel saw us like come up and they were like, okay.
They were like, if we just trash this a little bit more. Take that painting and break it.
Wait, you see the lady coming out holding up the painting layer, holding up the paint, like, what happened?
Bitch, just, you like, did that yourself. That was sitting on the bed. Perfectly intact. I seat it.
She just fucked that shit up with her kitten heel.
Not the kitten heel.
It's like boom, 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 boom. That's for the alimony, fucking Richard. Yeah. She's done. Them bitches framed Craig and Joey. Yeah. This definitely went there.
And Richard just gets away scot-free.
Richard is just like sneak, like pokes his head out around the corner, like, is the coast clear? Well, I'm just going to sneak off then. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to discuss Greasy Creep Mr. Oleander in Bark at the Moon. Can't wait. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by American Express, Lithium, and support from listeners like you.
Hey guys, Editor Avis coming at you live from the fourth or fifth day. I've been like really, really sick. One of these crotch goblins at my job got me sick. Please send healthy vibes. But I got through editing this episode and realized we neglected to mention that Ashley and Craig have their first time during this episode. Our bad. Caroline has the excuse that she was sick. I don't have that excuse. I literally don't know how we didn't mention it. Please excuse us, and hopefully it was still an enjoyable episode anyway. And yeah, love you guys. Bye.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Margot Mancini,
Evie Piscini,
Miranda Bickers,
Octavia Faith,
and June Bard.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Alika Fenderson
and Corey Newton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.